Alright, well, I am ready when you are, mate.
I am ready.
Alright, 3, 2, 1. And welcome, everybody, back to the Built Different Show! I am here with Wolfie. Obviously, we're here to talk some baseball. We'll mix in a little bit of other sports in here. But let's kick this off. Let's put the foot on the gas pedal immediately. Wolfie, how are you personally doing, and what is on top of your mind, man?
I am doing great. Dude, we've made it. We're at the first third of the way through the season. I can't believe it. It feels like we just started, and here we are, Memorial Day weekend. And there is one thing I have been dying to talk about all day, which is, why was everybody wrong about the St. Louis Cardinals? I don't get it, man. Dude, I'll give you credit. If you look at the wild card right now, the team that's in fourth is the Giants. But you, and I'll even say a couple others, kind of had high expectations for the Giants. I did not. But no one had any expectations for the Cardinals. I think I had them in dead last in my predictions in the standings. I really didn't think their pitching staff was that great. I didn't think their bats were going to come through. I thought Nolan Arenado was finished. And yet here they are at 32-24, and they're the third wildcard team behind the Padres and Mets right now. I'm actually stunned to see that. And like I just opened with, it's a third of the way through the season. This isn't a fluke anymore. We're about to be in June in a couple days. Are the Cardinals really this good? Or do you think this is still just a flash in the pan and everybody was right this whole time and they're just, you know, they're going to die any moment?
Bro, I think it's exactly what you said. It's a flash in the pan. I will continue. Listen, the Cardinals could win the World. I'll be honest. The St. Louis Cardinals could win the World Series, and I'll still tell you I don't believe. I mean, look, everything that they're doing right now is going against everything that we're supposed to believe. I mean, you know, they have the ace, which is Sonny Gray, but at the end of the day, he's about to be 36. And then they're led by Eric Fetty and Miles Michaelis, who are having, you know, sensational times on the mound. You know, I just don't buy it. Like, they're hitting, you know, Nolan Arenado, he's not even, like, really having, you know, that spectacular of a year, and he's supposed to be their best hitter. They're getting all these different contributions and all these, you know, crazy performances day in and day out. I think by the end of the season that they're going to have their cold stretch. And even if they make the playoffs, even if they make the World Series, I won't believe in it. I'm sorry, man. Now, it's just, I don't know. It's really unbelievable.
So if you were the GM going, even if they're, say, like, let's just say going into July, they're still 8 games above 500. Would you buy? Would you sell? Like, obviously you sound like you would sell, but.
So this is the annoying part about the St. Louis Cardinals. And I feel bad for their fans at the current point in time, is that their front office did absolutely nothing in the offseason. I mean, I criticized them for that. Like, they did not make one move until, I believe, a couple weeks into spring training. They literally sat there, did nothing. They were supposed to trade Nolan Arenado. That did not happen. They were supposed to do a few things. I mean, they were even supposed to get rid of a couple of their pitchers that are, you know, they're doing okay.
Dude,
now.
They were going to get Lance Lynn, and he said, I'd rather retire.
Literally. And at the end of the day, they did nothing there. So the fact that they're doing so good, they're probably going to buy at the trade deadline, and I don't see them winning, and I don't see the point of buying. I think they should continue to refresh this team, but I think they're going to buy. It's insane. It's just, it's all around. It's kind of like, what's a team from the past? I don't really have a good example off the top of my head right now, but yeah, the Cardinals, they're playing into a position where they're going to be forced to buy, just to see what they have, and it's going to make them worse.
They kind of remind me of, yeah. To switch sports, like, look at the Giants from 2 years ago when they went to that playoffs and it was just a fluke, and they're like, hey, they could have got rid of all these guys, and
they extend Daniel Jones.
The next year they do nothing. So no, I'm just shocked. I looked at the standings. I did not think we were going to open with the St. Louis Cardinals. I didn't think we were going to talk about them at all this season, to be quite honest.
I didn't think we were going to talk about them today.
Forgot they were in the league.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm doing all right. You know, birthday was yesterday. We're recording on Friday. Yesterday was Thursday. Birthday was Thursday. Had a nice chill day. As you guys can see, I cleaned up a little bit. I'm feeling great. It was a much needed couple days off of work that I've had. I needed a little refreshing, you know, some refreshing times. But what I want to talk about is the NBA while I got the chance. These playoffs have been exciting, especially if you're a Knicks fan like myself. It's been absolutely crazy. It's been one of a kind. I'm exhausted. I said it when the Pacers went up 3-1. I was just like, man, I kind of just want this to be over because I don't know how fans of good teams that go to the playoffs most years actually do this through, with these long seven game back-to-back, like back-and-forth series. But listen, I think, you know, now that the Knicks, they got it to a 3-2 series, I think they have more than a chance, especially now that Tibbs has the depth working, you know, Landry Shamet and DeLon Wright and like all this crazy shit actually coming out of nowhere and working.
Guys that didn't even know were on the team.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really hard to count them out. I think you'd have to be a fool to count out the New York Knicks because they had game five at home. They won. They handled business. All they have to do is win game six and then they'll get game seven at home. I think the combination of the star power and the sheer overwhelming talent that the Knicks have on offense with Karl Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson, and then on defense with Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. I mean, there's been spurts where the Knicks defense looks absolutely impossible. And then there's times where Mikal Bridges isn't even letting Tyrese Halliburton breathe. It just makes the team a top team. They have very good talent. I think people need to not forget that. I understand that the Knicks have lost some games that they shouldn't lose, but would it be the New York Knicks if the New York Knicks weren't blowing fucking games that they should be winning? Like, let's be really honest with ourselves. This is the New York Knicks we're talking about. Of course they lost a couple to the Pistons. Of course they lost a game to the Celtics that they shouldn't have. Of course they went down 0-2 at home to the Pacers. But if it's Knicks fashion to be dramatic, they lose games that they should win. But when it's all put together, we've seen they are a team, a championship team. So basically what I'm saying is that if this team makes it to the finals, I think they have a chance. But most importantly, though, they're going to come back next year if they do lose on this run. And I think it'll be even more glorious because I think they're learning a lot through this crazy-ass stretch because it has been a crazy stretch. When it's all said and done, I think the Knicks have had the craziest playoffs thus far out of all the teams in the league. But with that being said, make sure you guys like, subscribe, leave some feedback. We've kicked this off with a bang. We plan on continuing it. You know, shout out to all the overseas reporter or all the overseas reporters, all the overseas listeners, all the YouTube listeners. You guys really loved our last baseball episode, so we are going to, you know, bring you guys some more heat. Make sure you guys, you know, sit back, you know, kick back. We're gonna be talking about some Juan Soto, some around the league, some broken franchises, some terrible takes that we're going to force each other to defend, players that are truly different, et cetera, et cetera. So let's dive right in with some around the league. Wolf, you want to kick us off?
I'm having a pissed off time with what's going on around the league right now.
Oh, wow. A pissed off time.
Yeah, so between my team, I can understand a little bit with my team with Mauricio. But when it comes to Tampa Bay Rays with Jack Haglione, when it comes to what the...
Or the Royals. Royals with Jack.
Royals with Jack, I'm sorry. Royals with Jack. And when it comes to the Brewers, what they just did with their recent pitcher, when it comes to Roman Anthony, we're getting into this groove.
The Rays just dropped down Chandler Simpson.
I actually just saw that, too. Yeah. I understand if you bring them up, they're not playing well, but there's this case going around again, and it happens every year. I feel like we talk about this every year, where you have these talented prospects that are just doing so well in the minors, and these teams are just so hesitant to bring them up. The one thing I can commend the Pirates on is that they actually did bring up Paul Skeens when they did, as fast as they did. I mean, it was like less than a year in the minors. But
yeah, but then now they have Bubba Chandler, who should probably be up right now that they're not
exactly
bringing up.
No, that's true, too. Plus, they also lost Jared Jones, so they should bring something up. At least give the fans something. But we're getting into this groove again around the league where these teams just don't bring up prospects, and it's driving me nuts. And especially next year when there's a chance of a lockout, I feel like players are going to like discuss this too. Be like, hey, you know, you have these all-stars in the minors and they want to get their service time right away because then they're younger when they go into their contract years. And it just doesn't happen. And it pisses me off because I feel like it's just killing the game when you're either manipulating service time or you just won't let the fans see fun new talent. Like, what's the point of that? Isn't that the whole point of the game, is to grow it?
Yeah, I mean, today, and so you're kind of leading into a big point that I really want to make, and I was going to kind of make it later in the episode, but I mean, we could kind of dig into this topic now. I honestly think that they should separate owners from this whole MLB versus players, you know, thing when it comes to the CBA. I honestly think there should be three heads at the table. It should be the MLB as a business, as an organization. It should be owners and front office. And then I think it should be the players. And the reason why I say that is because I don't think it's the best interest for MLB right now to have ownership and front offices going the way that they are. Because it's like you said, even, you know, the prospect thing alone is one thing of a much bigger scale that I think is really broken with so many of these teams. Because then you have the Orioles, for example, who have called up their prospects, but then they don't expand on it. Yep. And the Baltimore Orioles, who could have easily been a big marketable franchise with all these new faces, are now, again, one of the worst teams in the league. And we're left figuring out, well, where the hell do they go from here? But to your point, man, like Chandler Simpson is a bigger, you know, a big, big example. He was on the Rays for about 35 games. He didn't hit any home runs, but he had 11 RBIs, 19 stolen bases. He hit 285. You know, maybe he could have worked a little bit more on drawing walks, but he only struck out 14 times. He didn't even strike out a lot, had 35 hits. It was a very good sample size because he's not, you know, this big power hitter. I mean, he only has like maybe two home runs in the minor leagues altogether too as well. But I don't think he should have been called down, man. I think he showed enough that he was a dynamic center fielder. He was fast. He was getting extra bases that he shouldn't have. There's nothing I can look at right there that says, man, that guy needs more work in AAA, especially when the Rays, they're not like, come on, are they really going to go to the wild card? Like, yes, they're 29 and 27 right now. They're one game back of the wild card. But do you really look at the Rays, and are you really convinced that they're going to go to a wild card to the point where you really needed to send that kid down?
And I'll say one thing about the Rays. I actually was someone that thought they were going to play better than most did. I always said to you, the Rays are going to ray. Even with that being said, I'm shocked they're in the position they are this early in the season. I figured if anything, they would kind of hover around 500, like going into the year, maybe sitting around fourth or third place. The fact that they've even like reached second place in May is like stunning to me. And that's someone that's usually high on the Rays.
Yeah, man. And I mean, you know, going back to the Orioles, I mean, what happened with those guys?
Like, no, it's so true. I had them in second place, kind of battling at that top with Boston and the Yankees.
No, I was like, yeah, I think second, but maybe first. But like, there was something with us that was just like, we cannot buy into it. We don't believe it. There was just it was just an underlying feeling of doom, of disaster, like going into it.
We knew them not spending the money was going to hurt them. But it's like they almost like fell off a cliff. They're like, what's the record right now? I actually have it to the side right here. They are 19-36. 19-36 in dead last place.
16 games back.
16.
11 out of the wild card. Like, it's kind of like almost as if their season's over unless something like they really like get things going.
Now, what's crazy about that is they've built up the last 5 years to get to the last 2 years. And now what thought was, I mean, every season's basically been a step forward. What do you think now? Like, do you, I mean, obviously you don't like quit. You obviously keep trying to build, but like, you obviously have to have a new mindset of we got to spend money in the off season or this piece. I actually think one thing that hurt them a lot more than we thought and hurt the player himself, that Santander thing really hurt them. Even just like something like that, maybe even losing. All right, you lost Corbin Burnes. There's some other pitching that was out there that you could have picked up. Santander, I definitely would have kept. But looking at the rest of the, it's unfathomable that they don't even have 20 wins and we're almost June when there have been almost a 100-win team 2 years in a row.
I mean, I think it just, I mean, there's multiple things that have really gone wrong with the Baltimore Orioles. I think number one, they should have fired, like, if the manager was going to get fired after this terrible start, I don't want to say it doesn't have to do with him. I think their playoff runs going so badly, I think has everything to do with their manager, but their slow, terrible start this year almost had nothing to do with him. They didn't do anything in the offseason to make the team good. Gunner started out hurt. Their pitching has been getting hurt left and right for a second year in a row. I think if if he was that much on the hot seat to where if a bad start to the season was going to get him fired, he should have been fired in the off season.
Yep.
Because it went back to, like I said, two seasons in a row, the Orioles had made the off season with, you know, maybe not the most expectation in the world, but like kind of like, oh my God, look at these guys. They can run the whole board.
Yep.
And they didn't even come close. They weren't even fired up. They looked like they didn't even want to be there. And I think that genuinely comes down from the manager side. But, you know, they didn't improve on their pitching. Like their big offseason, you know, pitching gets was Charlie Morton. You know,
he's cooked like, too. He looks
like,
real
yeah,
cooked.
Like you're telling me Zach Eflin, like, really is moving the needle that much, to where, like, you didn't, like, we knew, like, Grayson Rodriguez is good, but, you know, we know he, like, you need more. Like, you're going to sit there and let Corbin Burnes walk. And this new ownership group had, you know, came in and was like, yeah, we're here. We traded for Corbin Burnes. We're going to spend all this money. We're going to make the trades we need to. And then they don't.
They would have benefited so much from Max Fried, and I only say Max Fried because they actually, yeah. I think his contract, if I'm not mistaken, was 30 mil at least less than Burnes. I'm pretty sure Burnes got more than him. I can't remember if Burnes got 240 or 270. It was somewhere, I know it was north of 210 though, because 210 is what Fried got. But long story short, could have used him. Obviously, you could have used bats. One thing, and I feel like I'm going to say this for every team that always needs a manager, but you brought it up in a couple episodes ago, maybe even the last one. Terry Francona was obviously out there too. And like that would have been so fun to see him go with a rebuilding or already built Orioles team if they made some other moves, getting Fried and keeping Santander, maybe another bat. And then to see him duke it out with the Yankees again would be so much fun. But yeah, didn't happen in another world.
And it's just the Orioles, like, they just, they, and there's just, it sucks because there's just so much wrong, you know, right now with the team. Like, you have to rebuild the whole rotation. You have to build confidence in all these guys. Like Colton Cowser, every time that he keeps showing something, he gets hurt. Heston Gerstad hasn't really shown you what you thought that he would show you. Jackson Holliday he gives you these very small spurts of looking like he's supposed to, and then he just goes on these tremendous cold streaks. I don't know, man. I don't want to say they're cooked because obviously they have a lot of talent. But judging on the moves that they've made in the past year, I can't trust that they'll even turn their prospects into good trades or they'll even spend the money because that's all they've had to do. We've all sat here and looked at the Orioles and we were just like, get pitching, brother. Just fucking get pitching.
All around from top to bottom, even the bullpen. And like you said, I almost want to say that too, that they're not cooked. I mean, you said the names, Jordan Westberg, I'll throw in there too. But, dude, their record, right? I mean, you're two losses worse than the Pirates. The Pirates, brother. Like, I don't understand what happened. Like, I get you lost pitching, but, like, are your bats just, did they die all at once too? In a way, I hate to say it because it's been 2 years, so I don't want to say flash in the pan, but, like, maybe they just were really all clicking on cylinders for 2 years and now, you know, with pieces missing, they're just not as good as we thought they were. I just, like I said, just to reiterate, that fall off though is crazy. Like if they were like a 500 team, I would be kind of surprised. We're talking almost like
we're talking
17
about
games below 500.
Like, this is bad.
Yeah, this is just horrible.
You
could win 17 games in a row and just be at 500.
And then it's also on top of that, it's like they're not doing anything. Like they're not unloading the vets. I mean, of course that's going to, you know, come at some point, but it's just like, what do you do? Because if you do unload the vets, if you do unload the rest of the guys that are around that young talent, you know, the Ryan O'Hearns, the Cedric Mullins, you know, Dylan Carlson, for whatever that's worth, you know, you get rid of those guys, you're telling your fan base again, like, hey, we're going to rebuild again. Like,
I know,
we're doing this all over again.
And like you said, what are you going to get for them? And if you're not spending money to bring more in, there's only so much you could do with prospects. I'm not saying like...
And Gunnar Henderson's 3 years away. He is three after this
Adley
year.
Too.
He has three more... I mean, okay. I'm glad you brought that up because that is a whole nother thing.
I didn't even think about Adley, really.
Terrible. He has been so bad. What is going on to where he is so, like... He was one of the most overhyped guys. Jackson Holliday, one of the most overhyped guys. Like, even Heston Gerstad, they were like, this dude is an animal. And all of them have been buns. They have been hot dog water. And, like, Gunnar Henderson was the one that wasn't even hyped up like that, and he ends up the best one, one of the top players in the MLB. What is going on in that organization? It is something from top to bottom. Like, this is what happens. Like, even though you rebuild for several years and you get all these prospects, it's in the roots of the organization. They will stink, brother. If they will continue to stink if that stuff just isn't fixed.
It's got to be something more to do than just the play on the field, like you said, because... Like, you're telling me losing one pitcher, losing a couple bats, like, even just to injuries, like, even guys like, I'm not saying Dean Kremer was ever, God, skip, I mean, we're talking guys that, like, have six ERAs almost now. I just don't understand the drop-off so, like, if, let's just say this, use the Yankees as an example. Like, if they lost Soto and brought these guys in, and these guys weren't doing well. Paul Goldschmidt was doing great, but they weren't doing well. Lost Soto. You could be like, all right, I kind of understand it. But, like, a lot of the rookies are still there. And even with the injuries, I just... like you said, there's something in the organization that's making him that bad, because there's no way you drop off from, you know, being a 12 games over 500 team, so now you're 17 games below 500. We're talking like a 30-game difference in just a season. Like, that's ridiculous. Unless the people, or excuse me, unless the players saw that their ownership isn't spending money, and that just trickles down to everybody else, and they just, you know, now they're not as motivated to play. I hope that's not the case, because obviously these rookies still want to get contracts when they're a free agent, like you said, some of them in 3 years. But I don't know. It's there's a big problem.
Yeah, man, they blew it some more. But yeah, for to cap off the AL East, I mean, the Yankees, they really might not be cooked after all, man. I mean, they got guys that are coming back from injury too. You know, Ben Rice has been looking like a monster with the bat. Jason Dominguez has been clutch, and also, you know, getting better as the season's going along. Obviously, Aaron Judge has been a monster. Max Fried and Carlos Rodon have been a wonderful duo. Devin Williams went to the eighth inning role and has been excelling. Him and Luke Weaver as 8 and 9 instead of 9 and 8. What do you think real quick about the Yankees before we move on?
Yeah, real quick about them. The thing that I like to see, and first off, give them credit, because a lot of the major problems that people had looking at their roster going into this year was all the pitching injuries they had. And Will Warren has stepped up great. Guys in the bullpen
out of nowhere. He went from being like the worst pitcher in the league to one of the best.
He was like that. Dude, it was crazy because he wasn't getting like the strikeouts as high as he. I mean, he's had 5 straight starts of 7+ strikeouts. Yeah. Carlos Rodon has really stepped it up now that he has like a full on, like, hey, you and Fried are here. Like, it's no more hiding in Cole's shadow. Not that I ever said he would, but he's been great, and their bats have been great too. Also, too, the fact that they did take Williams out of the closer role right away and didn't dick around with that was really smart. Yeah. So overall, like, I'm not surprised.
He's such a better setup guy than he is a closer. I just don't think he likes that pressure of being the closer.
And plus, too, if you saw Luke Weaver do it really well last year, like, it was a no-brainer just to make the switch. Don't be like, oh, you know, well, that's the whole point. Why we brought him in was to be the closer. Like, dude, do whatever works. Your bats like, are playing
you
well.
You spent the money. The contract's there. Yeah. It is what it is. Don't make it worse by having him be shitty.
The one thing I'll say, though, about the Yankees quick before we move on to is that if Bellinger was really playing well, I would feel a lot more scared about the team. Just still, for some reason, I'm not scared of him.
Well, yeah, and I don't think we ever should be, because we're going to get to the postseason. Aaron Judge is going to suck. Stanton will be there hitting his random home
runs.
Oh, and
Stanton.
Like, big G.
Yeah.
Big G. And then everyone will be like, oh, fuck, Judge sucks again.
I forgot
he
existed.
I can't really give, like, that's the thing about the Yankees. All this amazing stuff is amazing. I love that Max Fried's pitching well. I love that Carlos Rodon.
Give him credit where credit's due. But.
Yeah, but, like, I can't, like, be like, yeah, man, fucking, you know, hats off until they do something in the postseason, because that's the thing. Like, they went to the World Series. What's next? Like, the only thing that's next is actually winning it, and they're not winning it unless Judge performs in the postseason. Doesn't matter if he even breaks Barry Bonds' record in the regular season. But, you know, AL Central, there's not too much to talk about, because the Tigers are basically running away with it. I know it was a little bit closer when we planned on talking about this, but as the old saying goes, I mean, the Guardians and the Twins, yet again, they didn't, you know, they had teams that you can build off of, but in the offseason, they don't really make the moves that they need to make. And it's kind of showing now that once again, they need to make, you know, deadline moves in order to take that next step. Like it is every single year with those two teams. And then the Royals, it's like you said, they just need to call up Jack. And then they're fucking, I don't know if it was their owner or their GM, but it was literally stupid as shit. They were like, oh, we want to call up Jack when we're on a hot streak. Well, the team is 30 and 27. So are you basically telling us that you're not calling him up this year at all?
Yeah, exactly. And it's better late than ever. Dude, any... Yeah. I mean, I'm a Met fan. I know. Dude, it could come down to the last game. You need everyone. I hate when teams do this where they just are like, oh, we'll get it at the end. Like, dude, it's... I understand it's a long season. Everyone matters.
Bro, he's hitting the ball so well in triple. It's like he does not belong there.
Dude, use him while he's hot.
Yeah, bring him up, see what he does. Because, like, especially since the, you know, Kansas City offense is one of the worst. They're the worst offense than the Chicago. Honestly, they're a couple runs away from being the worst offense in the entire American League. And the fact that they've won 30 games, you don't want to just bring up your top offensive prospect who's mashing in AAA? Like, that's not what you're into. That's not your cup of tea, Kansas City. You know, that's not what you want to do. It's kind of bizarre.
And you're right too about that run score thing. I'm looking at that now. They are the third worst right now. The only other team that's worse is the Pirates. And shockingly, I can't believe the Rangers are worse.
Yeah. I mean, well, and to talk about the Rangers, like they fired their hitting coach. It was so bad. Like it's actually like if you look into it, like Marcus Semien's batting ninth because of how much of a terrible season he's having. Like Adolis Garcia's having it bad. They had to demote Jake Berger and bring him back up. Evan Carter they brought back up, and he's still trash. Wyatt Langford starting to decline as the season's going along.
Seager gets hurt every week.
Yeah, no, it's really bad there for their hitting, and it sucks because their pitching is generational this year. Like, Tyler Mahle's having a fucking spectacular year. Jacob DeGrom, the Degrominator, is back.
Yep.
It's so
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah, oh, I mean, he's hurt, but, like, he's fucking...
But when he wasn't hurt.
Yeah, he's amazing, brother. They're going to get John Gray back at some point, Kumar Rocker back at some point. Jack Leiter came back, and he's starting to look good again.
They have a lot of
depth. I don't know, man. Like, my only thing with that is, like, where's Bruce Bochy's expertise? Like, I get he manages the whole team, but, like, come on. You got to know some hitting tips to give to the guys, to the boys.
I know.
You know?
Especially when, dude, you just won a World Series 2 years ago. Like, how do we...
Yeah.
They're another fall off. Like, what's going on with these teams that were good and just falling off? Like, are they just really riding a hot streak? Like, what the hell's going on?
And they're built for success. That's why, like, I had them. Like, I thought they were the team that was going to... I really did. They're only three games under.
I did, too.
But it's just not looking pretty.
They were spending money, and they were hitting well, and clearly won a World Series. I thought this was going to be their time, and the fact that they're, like, barely sniffing second place is sad to see.
It is. And then the Mariners, like, it's insane how the AL West went from a juggernaut bloodbath when the Rangers won the World Series and they had to go through the almost tying the Mariners and they had to go through the fucking Astros and all of that to now, honestly, I don't, like, you look at this and it's just bad. Like, the Mariners are in first, but they're so eh. The Astros are there, but they're the Rangers underperforming. The Angels, they keep having, you know, every dog has their day every once in a while. The Athletics are like god awful.
I'm so sad to see that too. I really thought in the beginning of the year they were playing decent to where I was like, all right, yo, maybe they could stay in third place. You never know. But they're doing bad. Astros, I actually think the Astros are still going to win the division. I usually always pick them to win the division the last half decade.
I mean, they're getting that dude Hunter Brown, man.
and Seattle, I don't care. And I'm so sick of hearing it because I keep hearing it on whether it's national media or radio or other podcasts. I understand Randy Arozarena was really good for the Rays at one point. And I understand, obviously, they have J-Rod. Polanco is going off out of nowhere. I am not sold on their offense whatsoever. Dude, like, at all. This is like the thing we just talked about in the beginning of the show with the Cardinals. I am literally not sold on Seattle's offense at all. Like, do I think they could be, like, a wild card team, you know, maybe like a, I mean, 30-25, I'm not saying it's out of this world, their record right now, but dude, like to hype up their offense and make it like, this is the first place team we expected all year. I am not sold on that one bit.
Yeah.
But congratulations.
And honestly, and we'll get to the broken franchises, but I think they're one of them, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't care that they're in first, but yeah, man. I mean, quit before we move on from the AL, man, the Detroit Tigers, they're number one in the Central, number one in the AL. You know, I was ranting and raving about them all off season, you know, going into it. I think they're primed and ready for a run. It's going to be hard to stop them. They got Tarik Skubal, who literally the other day threw under 100 pitches, had 13 strikeouts, only two hits, no runs, full complete game. First time that's ever happened ever. And, you know, they have the hitting. Riley Green's looking great. Kerry Carpenter's out there hitting bombs. You know, Joby just hit the IL just now, like 10 minutes ago. But
Spencer Torkelson's been just good. Finally doing what he was supposed to do like 4 years ago.
but man, yeah, man. What do you think about the Detroit Tigers? Truly,
truly, truly. I actually am not sold on the Tigers at all.
Here we go, yeah, brothers. Here we go.
So yeah, so let's break it down. Like I said, Spencer Torkelson, all right, I'm not saying everybody should come up and just produce right away. Good to see his powers there. I would say out of like him and Riley Green, they're assured things. I mean, Gleyber Torres is always going to be the 280 hitter with defense. But like the fact that like Baez is good out of nowhere, I mean, I'm not sold on Sweeney, McKinstry. Kerry Carpenter's like an guy. Like, I don't know. I just feel like...
Well, you're not so... Wolfie. When McKinstry and Kerry Carpenter both guys.
I just... Kerry Carpenter kind of reminds me of like the Nimmo territory where it's like, he's good, but he's not great. And Zach McKinstry and Sweeney, I just feel like I'm not sold on them at all. I mean, Trey Sweeney, I mean, he's got a 615 OPS right now. Zach McKinstry's a sub 800. He kind of reminds me of more of like... almost like a McNeil kind of style player. I think their pitching is pretty good, but when you just look at their team as a whole, I think they're one of those teams that are benefiting more from their entire league, or I don't even want to say division, more of the league being bad. Decent.
I believe this.
They almost remind me of like more of like a top heavy team where it's like Spencer Torkelson, great. Riley Green, great. Tarik Skubal, great. Like we all know these names. But then like, between the bullpen, the second half of the lineup, the bottom half of the rotation, I'm not sold on their team overall. Like, dude, if you were to like compare like a Baltimore Orioles team to them in the last season and a half, I would almost took the majority of the players on the Baltimore Orioles team. And the fact that it's flipped like that, like either I'm completely wrong in looking at this one way, or this team,
you are, brother.
Yeah, like either this team is that great, or it's just a combination of top heavy guys really, really taking the charge. Like I don't think Baez is going to be that great for the rest of the season. Personally, I don't know if their pitching staff is going to hold up. Personally, I've never been a huge Flattery fan, but I will say the one thing I cannot hate on at all, because I even just kind of talked smack about Torkelson. I can't hate on Tarik Skubal. He is the best pitcher in that league. Incredible. But there's just something about that team. I think the Guardians at one point, or I think I actually had the Guardians for first place when we were going in standings at the beginning of the year. I just don't know what it is about this combination of players, but I am just not sold on this team.
That's fair, man. But listen, I'll just go on one little rant and then we'll move on from that. But I just think like they don't like, I don't think the Tigers need all this crazy heavy hitting talent all the way through their lineup. Like it's like you said, like they have Riley Green, who's consistently amazing. You have Spencer Torkelson, who is, you know, one of the best hitters in the league this year. And then, you know, realistically, you know, guys like Zach McKinstry, Gleyber Torres, Kerry Carpenter. I mean, you could even throw Javi Baez in there.
Dinger, their catcher.
Yeah, Dingler, like guys like that. It's just guys that keep the lineup going, and that's why they're so good. So that you can get that big hit out of any one of those guys. I mean, Kerry Carpenter is, you know, I don't know how you look at Kerry Carpenter and think he's like this guy. Like, he's hitting 275 with, you know, 10 home runs, 22 RBIs up to this point.
He reminds me of like a borderline all-star, like just a sub all-star. Like if
yeah,
that, yeah like how like I'm Nimmo saying. Doesn't make it, it kind of reminds me of that. I'm not and dude, I love Nimmo too. But,
and that's what I'm saying. Just, so you say that, like, okay, borderline all-star. Would you say that Gleyber Torres is the same way?
I'll be honest.
You know, just borderline, like average.
Borderline.
You know, maybe
he might be below borderline.
Above okay. Yeah. Zach McKinstry, I would say, you know, average, slightly above average.
I would say I would put him more in the average territory.
Right, but you have all these guys that we would consider average and stuff. You add that all up, that is a very well-oiled moving machine, because on days where it clicks, great. On days where it don't clicks, the Tigers' pitching has been insane. Like, you start off with Tarik Skubal, and I get that they have, you know, a little bit of injury, but
they're
know,
starting.
Flaherty,
also, yeah. I was going to say, not to cut you up, but I didn't want to, like, because I said Tarik and Flaherty just because they're technically the 1-2. Yeah. Olsen and Mize have been great. I just didn't put them first because they have, I think,
Mize
like, at
had
least
a really
three
good resurgence, too.
Yeah, I think they've had like three less games pitched than the other two guys at top. They've been great, and Jackson Jobe has been eh. He hasn't been that great.
Don't forget they have the prospects to make moves to like improve their lineup, improve their bullpen, which they're going to do.
I think the thing that's killing me is that, like I mentioned with that second half of the lineup and the bullpen, is that, because like you just asked me, do I think Gleyber Torres, I think Kerry Carpenter is slightly more closer to All-Star than Gleyber Torres. The problem with Gleyber Torres is that I've seen him really go on cold streaks, and I've seen how poor his defense is. It's the same thing with a lot of their bullpen names. Like, first off, a lot of their guys in their bullpen are like, you might not even know half of them. But then, like, a guy, like, don't get me wrong, shout out Mike Trout because Tommy Canley follows him. But do I think, like, Tommy Canley is necessarily like a 1.5 ERA pitcher? No, not like.
I think he's figured something out because he was nasty last year and he's been nasty this year.
Unless I'm thinking of that change up, like relievers. That change up postseason where he just threw like what 70 in a row or 50 in a row, something like that. I just
did like pitchers just figure it out, man.
And you're right, like they do, but just man, like even looking at some of their bullpen ERAs, like Brant Herder, he has 27 innings. I don't even know who that is, Brant Herder. 27 innings, he has a 1.95 ERA. Will Vest has a 1.73 ERA. Like, I said it before. Unless I'm just completely wrong, and damn, this is just a team that no one's been really, like, with not big household names, but I'm shocked. I will say that I'm shocked to see they're doing this well.
That's fair. So moving to the NL West, the Dodgers, you know, obviously first, the Rockies are absolutely fucking cooked, 25 games back. The things that I take away from the NL West is obviously the Dodgers have been, you know, severely injured up until this point. I don't know how their training staff hasn't been fired. The Padres are finally going on a nasty cold streak. I don't believe in the Padres as much as I, you know, really believe in other teams. I just thought their beginning stretch made you believe a little bit. But overall, I think the Giants are the second best team in this division. And I think their bullpen is the best in the league as well. Like, they have something absolutely figured out in that bullpen. They just need to make sure their starters stay on par. And this team is freaky. And they just got, they're about to get Nico Horner, I heard, apparently. I think the Giants are the second best team in the NLS.
See, it's funny. Like, we are at that third waypoint in the season, and it's almost like the same way of how I feel about the Tigers, where it's like, damn, I can't believe this is happening. But I was a little bit... I actually, weirdly, was a little bit higher on the Giants, maybe, than the Tigers. I don't know. I kind of almost had them in the same boat. We're around, like, second, third place.
Yeah.
It's good to see the Giants pitching doing pretty well. Their bullpen's actually been pretty disgusting. Camilo Duval's actually had like a resurgence this year, which is really good to
see.
He's
a baller, man. He just needs to figure things out.
Blown away, shocked. Crazy, dude, because this was actually a name we had in the 21 questions like a month or two ago, was Wilmer Flores. And what happened, dude? He's like literally like leading the NL in like RBIs. And a bunch close to a bunch of other stats. Where does that come
like
from?
The Giants have a bunch of these players where they're like, you know, they're ballers. It's just, you know, it's dogs that got to have their day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just, they're getting that from a lot of guys.
So good for them. I still think the Padres are slightly better with all that being said, but it is the third waypoint in the season. The Giants are still doing well. So you know what? I guess that is what it is. The one thing I do got a quick mention about the NL West is, holy shit, I did not realize how bad the Diamondbacks pitching was. I knew
terrible, man.
Corbin Burns is doing well, and I actually knew a bunch of their bats were doing really well. I mean, their hitting's doing what they did last year, where it's like really, really well. Perdomo's having like one of the best seasons he's ever had. Dude, he's like almost top stats in the NL, like Wilmer Flores, shockingly. But then when you look at their pitching staff, Zach Gallen, 5.5 ERA. Rodriguez, on and off hurt too, but he's got a high, he's got a, over a 7. Brandon Pfaadt, almost a 4. Merrill Kelly, all right, 3.5. Him and
Corbin Burns, like, his stats look okay, but like you look a little bit deeper. I mean, he's been walking a lot of guys. He's not been going too deep in the games.
Yeah.
He's not striking out as much as he usually does. I mean, he's not been like that ace that he normally is, you know, in past years.
And
it's just weird. Like, all these starting pitchers go to the Diamondbacks to die. And then, like you said, Zach Allen's been dog shit.
Yes. Yeah. And it's sad too, because a couple guys, like, they've actually used Ryan Nelson in past. Like, they have a couple guys that have started that haven't been that bad. But then when you look at their bullpen, all right, Justin
Martinez. Worst bullpen in the league.
I was going to say, you can't even be like, oh, Justin Martinez, AJ Puck. You know, dude, they almost have 4 ERAs. The only guy that's shockingly well, even though he only has 21 innings pitched, is Shelby Miller. What the hell? Like, how is Shelby? I didn't even know Shelby Miller was still in the league. I would love to. I'm actually going to click that quick while you go on a rant.
My bad. They're not the worst bullpen in the league. They're the fourth worst bullpen in the league.
Yes. Okay. So they, dude, look at the. I mean, if you look at the numbers, they're terrible. So yeah. Top of the rotation, couple guys okay, but for the most part, the other 3 to 4 are terrible. Bullpen terrible, and their bats are doing well. So they are really in a conundrum right now, because if they had like even just average pitching, they would probably be in second place.
Yeah. And so we talked about the Cardinals for the NL Central. What do you make of the Cubs hot start? I honestly think they're probably just one starting pitcher and maybe one bullpen pitcher away, I think, from being a World Series contender this year. I think they got it locked in, and I think it would be a true, true crime if the Cubs do not re-sign Kyle Tucker. That franchise deserves to burn their old-ass stadium to the ground if they do not re-sign Kyle Tucker in free agency.
They definitely need to re-sign Kyle Tucker. And the good thing with the Cubs right now is, if I were them, I actually would try to buy a little bit at the deadline. I thought last year they shouldn't have. The reason why I'm a little bit higher on them spending at this deadline is because they're in first place. I actually thought the Brewers were going to be a lot better throughout the year. They are getting some pitching back here, but their lineup is nothing to brag about either. But the Cubs right now are cooking, man. They got a lot of good pieces. Pete Carl Armstrong, Tucker.
Oh, he's been so nasty, man.
Suzuki. I mean, you add a cup. They're a team that, like, you're right, if you add like a really big arm, I don't even know if you need a big bat necessarily, but a couple bullpen pieces would really help that team, actually.
I agree.
But like one decent arm and a couple bullpen pieces, I mean, obviously you could always just get whatever utility bat, but that team could, I mean, with winning the division, having that advantage of not being in the wild card,
right?
Watch out for the Cubs in the playoffs. Quick note, what year do you think Shelby Miller came up and debuted?
So that's the thing. I remember him being there when I started like really like deep diving into baseball. Was it like 2008, 2007?
So it's not that old. It's
really,
I mean, cause you got to remember that's like almost like 20 years ago. He's actually not as old as you think he is, which is wild.
I'm fucking bugging.
What no, I'll admit that. I thought about 2010. It's 2012, but that's still 13 years ago.
Yeah. But we're talking about like that, that's back when the Nationals were first good.
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's when he came up the year R.A. Dickey won the Cy Young, just to give you like a time frame. The one thing that kind of blows me away though, because that is 13 years ago, is that he's only 34, so he's not even terribly old for playing for 13 years. Obviously he came up then 21, but I just think that was interesting. Shelby Miller.
I mean, Shelby Miller, man. Full send. But yeah, so moving on to the NL East, I don't think, you know, I think the Braves are, I don't know, man, unless Acuna goes back to being MVP. By the way, shout out to Acuna, who's back hitting bombs. That's great to see. Unless Acuna goes back to being the absolute MVP that he was, if Strider goes back to being the absolute Cy Young that he does, and like we were talking about, Smith-Shawver is now out for the year and probably out for next year, and who knows what happens after that because he just destroyed his elbow. I think the Braves are done, and I don't want to talk too much about the Nationals because they are very unpredictable and messy, and the Marlins are obviously the Marlins. The Phillies, obviously, we know are a contender, but I think the Mets are the interesting thing to talk about here, which will go into our next segment about Juan Soto and the Mets. And who better to talk about that segment than Wolfie, the Mets fan himself. Talk to us.
All right, so I'm actually a Juan Soto defender.
Okay.
First off, I don't want to break down the whole segment. I already told you about this on the side. I literally even had it on the radio where I broke down this whole thing of like what Juan Soto looks like when he's not playing well. Not to get into details, but he is someone that shows on his sleeve more than we like to,
right,
more than just not even like to acknowledge, but more than people acknowledge in general. A lot of people don't realize like he wasn't shuffling as much as we thought he was during certain seasons, especially when he wasn't playing well. He wasn't, you know, smiling. He was throwing the bat. He was throwing the helmet when he wasn't playing well. And we're seeing that on the Mets. Now, we are actually seeing a little bit more of the clubhouse positivity that we didn't see the first month. But the one thing that's kind of driving me nuts is that, like, why, like, are you just trying to do too much? Because I don't buy the whole he doesn't want to be on the Mets. Because first off, you chose here. Second off, the one story that keeps getting forgotten about is that Aaron Judge and Juan Soto apparently didn't communicate the entire offseason. So I just find it hard to believe that he's so enamored with the Yankees. He loved hitting behind Judge, but yet they didn't talk the entire like offseason. Judge didn't say, like, hey, I want you back. So that story, for some reason, just keeps getting swept under the rug. So I don't buy the whole he doesn't want to be here. I'm starting to wonder because some of these stories have been surfacing from San Diego, is that, is he not getting along with the teammates? Like, I mean, and it's weird, because I kind of see it sometimes, like, does him and Lindor not really like each other? Because apparently him and Machado and Tatis, I think, didn't really get along as great as everybody thought they were. And I'm starting to think if that's something that's going along with this team, or is it kind of like he thinks he should do more because he's getting paid the most and like kind of feels bad about it? Or is he just, like I said, when he's not playing well, he's just doesn't look good. I don't know. I would love to see. But the one thing that I will say is that why I'm not so mad is because the Mets just had one of their best Aprils they've ever had. And they've been like about a 500 team in May. Not great, but not terrible. And that's with him not playing well. And I expect Juan Soto at some point to fully turn it around. Maybe not hit 310 like he did with the Yankees, but at least a 270 with about 30 home runs. And I'll take that, because if you do that, the Mets are going to be great. So that's just why I'm not jumping the gun yet. Not even including the fact that we have him for 15 fucking years. So,
yeah, man. Listen, I think there's so many factors that go into this. You know, first and foremost, a lot of people say that, you know, he wasn't ready to get paid this kind of money or something like that. I just don't think Juan Soto was ready for how do I put it? Because I don't want to shit on the Mets here, because I do that a lot. How sad and discouraging Mets media can truly be when things aren't going their way. And what I really mean by that is, you know, when things are like, the Mets are winning right now, but obviously the big spotlight is on Juan Soto's performance. Like, it's weird. Like, it's the focus isn't even on that the Mets are actually having, you know, a cool season so far. It's on the fact that Juan Soto, the $700 million man, isn't performing like a $700 million man. I don't think Juan Soto was ready for just how dooming the New York Mets media actually can be. And it's kind of just how it's really been. I mean, you know, you think about, you know, to the past, like Matt Harvey got ate up, chewed up, spit out by the Mets media, like when things were great, but man, when things were bad, they were bad. And it's weird. I'm comparing Juan Soto to Matt Harvey. But, you know, you keep going down like Jacob deGrom when things were great and he was winning Cy Youngs and he was healthy. Things were great. But when he was unhealthy, there was media was saying this left and right, fans left and right. I don't think Juan Soto was ready for all that because obviously he had one good year as a Yankee, you know, wasn't getting booed, wasn't getting none of that. And then now you're a Met. And not only are you a Met, you're a $700 million Met. You're the guy that's supposed to turn this whole franchise around. And I don't think he was ready for the shitstorm, the gloomy days that were going to come with that. But I think he's going to get used to it. It's like you said, I think he's going to turn it around. I mean, it's not – yes, you look at the core numbers and they're bad. Like, he's hitting terribly over the last handful of games. But
still getting his walks.
He's getting his walks. He's hitting the ball really hard. He's getting very unlucky. A lot of teams are making good defensive plays against him. I mean, you see the Mets on the base paths. He's been robbed of like two hits because, you know, the Mets have been fucking idiotic on the base paths. There's just a lot of factors that are going into it, but I don't truly think he's having a terrible time with the bat. It's just the ball needs to drop. He needs to get the ball over the fence. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's still allowing, you know, Lindor and Pete Alonso to look, you know, really good this season. And I think they'll be fine. I think they will. I don't think it's time to panic. I mean, if there was certain key statistics down for Juan Soto, I would get it. But, you know, he's still barreling the ball. He's still swinging the bat like he should. He's still hitting the ball hard. He's just getting unlucky. And that's really all I think that there is to it. I think that if the Mets media can just stop trashing him, I think it'll be a little bit better. I mean, I think they got to do something a little, you know, I mean, I thought it was terrible that the Phillies did it for Trey Turner, but I think one day, you know, the Mets fans need to just all come to the ballpark. And when Juan Soto's name is read for the first time, everyone just needs to fucking lose their minds and cheer like they did for his first at bat in Citi Field. I think they just need to do that. Like, while he's expecting boos or no reaction, I think Mets fans got to just come out and be like, yeah, MVP, this is our fucking guy. Like, cheer.
I agree.
I think it is something – the tide needs to turn, I think, in the media presence of it all. Like, cheer for this guy. Don't tear him down because you guys are going to be shocked if you tear this guy all the way down and maybe he does end up, you know, terrible and a piece of shit. And then everyone's going to be like, oh, my God, like – us, it's just the Mets luck when it was literally the Mets fans and media that have caused that situation.
So the one thing I'll defend is that I do think you're right, but I don't necessarily want to put the label of Mets media because I don't think it's actually Mets media. I think it's just New York media. And what I mean by that is usually New York media covers both Mets and Yankees. But the thing is, I think the fact that he did so well last year, he never saw the bad New York media. Yeah. So I don't necessarily think it's just Met media. I think it's New York. And the reason why I also label it that wide too is because now that he's on the Mets, the Yankee fans can't stand him. Like, look at what happened when he went to the Subway Series. He tipped his cap and they all turned their backs. Like, I'm not saying he shouldn't know that there wasn't going to be some, you know, negative feedback.
No, he was doing that as a troll.
Yeah, man. Exactly. But my point being is, like, I feel like he didn't expect, like I said, the media aspect for it, or I didn't do bad as the Yankees, so I never really got booed too much. Now, I actually will admit, because they talk about it on the radio all the time, we haven't had really a big boo yet for Juan Soto. There's been like a couple here and there, but it's just the fact that he's in New York not performing well, and he's never really experienced that. A couple stretches last year at the end of August, there was like I mentioned before, a two-week stretch he didn't do well. But he never really got it from the Yankee fans, especially because they went to the fucking World Series because of him. And the fact that he's playing on a Met team who's hitting about 500 or about 500 now, he's not hitting well. I think the pressure of just all media is just really getting to him.
And I like how you ended it with the pressure of all media getting to him, but I'm going to disagree. I think Yankees media is a little bit softer than the Mets media, and the reason why I say that is because you look at everything from the past. I know I mentioned, you know, Jacob deGrom had a really like rough end to that Mets tenure because of just how much the media was just harping on him, and it was for, and I'm never gonna say it's for wrong reason. I mean, like, you're an athlete, you like, come on, keep your arm healthy. Like, you're the best pitcher. You're the Mets shining knight. Like, you're the golden boy. You know, Matt Harvey absolutely tore Matt Harvey fucking apart. You know, Jason Bay, that's another, you know, big example. The Mets made it absolutely cooked that guy.
A lot of these guys deserved it, though. Like, to be honest, of course, Matt Harvey.
Like, when you have Ike Davis saying he wanted to kill himself, like, like, it's just.
The thing is, though, I mean, you're not wrong, but I feel like, especially in Juan Soto's case, like, dude, you're also getting $750 million.
And that
comes with the territory more than a lot of these other guys, though.
But I think when you say about Yankees media, like, I think Aaron Judge should have already been chewed out by the media, but they're still protecting him like he's their little angel, when he should have taken so much hate for that last postseason run.
I feel like their fans are a little bit more vicious than, well, definitely more vicious than their media. Because they booed Stanton his first opening day ever when he went 0 for 4. Or 0 for 5.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like wondering, like, where's all the media hate for Giancarlo Stanton in general? Like, this guy has had, like, he's been eating this check. Like, he's been getting $30 million a year to, like, show up, hit a few dingers, leave for a few months, come back, have a good stretch of hitting some dingers, have a, you know, a happy, cool postseason run that doesn't really amount to a championship. I mean,
even their media is soft on, like, a guy like DJ LeMahieu, and, like, I hate to say, like, I don't know exactly
how has he not been ran out of that?
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's almost if the fans are more vicious than the media.
Definitely. Like, they were more vicious with Gleyber Torres than they have been with any of those other guys that we mentioned.
Absolutely. The one thing maybe the media was starting to, like, they didn't even really turn with Aaron Hicks as much. Joey Gallo a little bit, but it was really just the fans.
I mean, but Joey Gallo is a piece of shit. Let's just...
I don't even want to, like, compare him to the other guys. It's, like, so disrespectful to Stanton.
But let's move on. So we're going to play the Guess That Lineup game. We're going to get a little bit fun on this show. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to generate a lineup. I'm going to randomize a year, and I'm going to randomize a team for Wolfie. And he has to guess that team as much as he can in 5 minutes. Is that a fair time frame?
Oh, I'll probably do it like a minute.
A minute? Okay, 2 minutes.
Well, yeah, it's about 2 minutes, yeah. Shouldn't take too long.
All right. 1 second. You said 2000 is, or 2005, 2010. What's the least you're willing to do? Or most?
I feel like 2010 and up should be okay.
Cool.
15 would be definitely worse, but I feel like it was too recent. So
2018, so that's good.
Okay, all right.
MLB teams randomizer, please. I don't know why I got an ad for that.
I feel like 2012 and... 15 definitely is a good year for me to start, but that's... I mean, I was always watching back then. I can't remember those fucking lineups.
This is funny. Hold on. I think this team was a playoff team. They were. Wow, they were 91-72. All right, hold on. Because I think you actually might nail this. Let me just pull up a timer on my phone. Yeah, you're going to like this one. So you're going to have 2 minutes on the clock, and you have to guess the 2018 Colorado Rockies.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay.
And the time is going to start right now. They were 91-72.
So Nolan Arenado definitely was still there. Do I have to guess the positions? Do I have to guess, like, the... Yeah, I'll just guess.
Guess who was there, and I'll put him in position for you.
Nolan Arenado was definitely there. So yep,
third baseman.
I'm assuming Trevor Story was still there.
Trevor Story was there as their shortstop.
Okay. Charlie Blackman had to be there then.
He was there as their center fielder.
Was CJ Cron there?
CJ Cron was not there.
Really? Oh. See, this is the problem, is that I feel like guys are going to be like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, you should remember this, and now I'm not having
good.
Second base, was that Daniel Murphy there that year?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised, actually.
Think slightly older. We were just talking about him.
Oh, DJ LeMahieu. Okay.
Yep, DJ LeMahieu, the second base.
Who was their damn catcher? That one's kind of pissing me off.
I don't know, but he was a Rocky for a while, so if you know relevant catchers, you
it's
might
get
him.
It's not Stallings, 40, is it?
No. 45 seconds left.
Fuck, man. The outfield is pissing me off because I literally am drawing blanks on the outfield. Chris Bryant wasn't there, was he? No, 2018. No, it's too early. Oh, man, who's in their fucking outfield? They have to have a righty out there, a speed guy, too. Oh, the fucking guy that went to the Toronto Blue Jays, I think, was there. Was Tapia there?
No.
Fuck. Oh, man, this is...
I mean, he was on their bench, but he wasn't there.
First base is driving me nuts because...
First base, I don't know if you're going to get because he's not a traditional first baseman.
Okay, so then I definitely won't get that. Oh, catcher. Fucking Rockies catcher. Oh. I'm drawing a blank on the rest of this team. Was Parra there?
Wow, yeah, you got Gerardo Parra.
Fuck, and then Gonzalez definitely wasn't still there, was he?
Who?
Gonzalez?
Yeah, Carlos Gonzalez. Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's the right fielder. Oh, my God.
Oh, Todd Hundley? No, not Todd Hundley. Fucking God, what's the catcher's name? The catcher is driving me. I feel like I should know the catcher.
So you got, you got everybody, but you got Trevor Story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got but Ian Desmond at first base.
Fuck, okay.
And Chris Iannetta.
Chris Iannetta. Okay, that's what I was
thinking. That's why I said, like, I don't know, he was kind of a bum, but, like, yeah, you know, he's cool.
I definitely should have known that.
That was a good team. I'm shocked they didn't, like, build off of that. That's what I mean. Like, these franchises suck.
I'm so glad I got Parra and Gonzalez, because that would have pissed me off.
Yeah, no, I honestly maybe would not have guessed Carlos Gonzalez. I forgot he played in the 2018.
Dude, well, that was, dude, once I said Parra, I said Gonzalez just to be like, all right, like, he's got to be.
Yeah, that was his last year as a Rocky, and then he went and was just almost didn't get signed after that year. And that year he was 16 home runs, 64 RBIs, hit 276, but he just wasn't really picked up after that.
Okay.
I don't get that, but
yeah, CJ Cron and Ian Desmond, I was like getting those two mixed up. There's one other guy. There's one other guy, CJ Cron, Ian Desmond. I feel like there's one other guy that I'm like mixing up with the Rockies that was playing there.
Probably David Dahl.
2001. Okay, that was cool.
That was
CJ Cron. Maybe it's just through CJ Cron.
You want to do one for me or?
Yeah. So let's do.
This is about to be insane.
We are going to do. No, I don't want to do 2018. I feel like that's not fun.
Fuck.
Ah. Oh, I feel like that's cheap. Would you be okay with 2020? I feel like that's cheap.
Fuck it.
All right. No, I can't do 2015. All right. How about this? I'll just do one last spin if it's done. Okay. 2017. There we go. 2017. Okay. All right. Now let's do team.
2017 Chevrolet Colorado's segment.
Huh? The Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, the 2017 Milwaukee Brewers.
I mean, actually, like, I mean, you might know some of them then because I know I'm pretty sure that was, well, I don't want to obviously give one away.
But... Okay, let's do it. Just let me know when to start the timer.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, you can go.
Ryan Braun.
Yeah, he was still there.
Okay. It's actually really Jonathan Lucroy?
No, not as the main cut. No, he wasn't even there.
Was Carlos Gomez still there?
No. Oh, damn, dude, this is actually a way harder team than I thought it was. I can't believe, actually, this team is as hard as I thought it was.
Christian Yelich wasn't there yet. It was 2017. Holy shit.
This is a hard team. I'm not going to lie.
I'm trying to remember. I don't even know.
This is a fucked up like.
No, hold on. Hold on.
They have weird Brewers names. I'll just put it to you that way. Like these guys, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's right. They play for the Brewers.
You got a minute left.
One of them like had like
I'll just say this. Their first baseman had a year that was, like, really good that year.
Oh, was it was it Eric Thames?
Yes.
Eric Thames?
Yes.
Okay, all right, yeah, because he went from the Nationals after that. Okay.
And then that...
I was actually looking at this dude last night, Travis Shaw.
Yes, I was. Okay, that was a hint I was going to give you.
Yeah. I was looking at him last night because someone said that, like, we got robbed of Travis Shaw, and I went on a fucking research loophole
for
Travis Shaw.
Their center fielder was supposed to be really good at one point, and their right fielder was pretty good for, like, a couple years. He was a pretty serviceable right fielder.
Was the center fielder Domingo Santana?
So that's actually their right fielder, so that's your call.
Oh, okay.
You got 15 seconds.
Jonathan VR. Yes. Jonathan VR.
Yes.
Yes, I remember him. I remember him.
5 seconds.
Fuck me. Damn.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, I was gonna say Orlando Arcia, but I'm pretty,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he was there. Really? He was shortstop. Because
he was a prospect for them.
Yeah, he played. He played a full season. Actually, he actually played the most games out of everybody on the team.
Yeah, I remember he was like this. Like he was supposed to be this big deal for them. I thought it was too early for him.
You definitely weren't gonna get the catcher. That was Manny Pena.
Who the fuck is that?
Pena. Yeah, you probably weren't gonna get that. Even their secondary catcher was Jet Bandy. Fuck, I forgot about him. And then their like third, second catcher he paid the same as Jet Bandy was actually Stephen Voigt was still there. I probably would have gave you that if you guessed that.
Okay. I would have not.
By the way, bench center fielder also supposed to be good was Lewis Brinson. But their center fielder was Keon Broxton. But I wouldn't expect you to really remember that one.
I do remember him though.
So really it was the same thing. We went 7 for 9 each. So that was actually pretty good.
He hit twenty home runs that year too. Wow.
Yeah. So you did good for a team that I wouldn't even remember at all.
I'll take it. Well, you said you got a game for me.
Oh, fuck. Yo, you good? You good?
I do that like once per episode.
I thought you fucking busted ass out of the chair.
I thought I did, too. I saved myself.
All right, so I'm going to give you... Well, I'll just do a timer just to see how fast you can get them, or see if you can get them all in general. So we'll just do both. I'm going to give you 10 questions... I think I put them in hard difficulty order, at least what I thought was the hardest. And we're going to see if you can get them all. I'm going to give you like a word or a phrase, and you have to guess which stadium that is.
Oh, fuck me. I'm not good with this.
All right. It'll start off pretty easy for like the first couple. So you should at least get some of the first couple. So I'm going to start the timer whenever you're ready.
Go ahead. Go for it. Let's go.
All right. Green Monster.
Oh, yeah. Fenway, Red Sox.
Okay. McCovey Cove.
Giants.
Okay. The Home Run Apple.
Mets.
You got that. The Mile High Stadium.
No. It's not the Twins. No. No. Mile High Stadium. What the fuck? The Rays?
No, that's strike one. I'll give you 3 strikes. That's strike one. All
right.
You want to skip that just for right now, or do you want
to? Okay. Yeah. Well, put it back to the end.
Yeah. Okay. So number 5 is Bleacher Creatures.
Yankees.
Okay. 6 is there is a pool behind the center field wall. Okay. Good. 7, Ivy on the
Cubs.
Yep. Number 8 is, where the fuck is, they have a home run slide.
Brewers.
Yep. Number 9, this stadium is named after an OJ company.
An orange juice Tropicana Rays.
Yep. And then number
10. I almost thought OJ Simpson.
You know, that's why I almost thought that. I said it out loud. I'm like, oh shit, I think he might think that. This one, number 10, the final question. This stadium has a zip line.
That's not the Brewers as well? What the fuck? What the fuck? Who has a zip line? Oh, brother. Who? What's Mile High and who has?
Oh yeah, so that would be the last two then, Mile High and Zipline. The Mile High one, you should definitely know.
I know. I'm drawing big blanks.
The Zipline one, you probably won't know unless you knew that. But I figure you might know that one because your team plays that team a lot.
Who the fuck has a Zipline?
I mean, they fucking talk about every goddamn game when the teams play there.
Is it the Braves?
It is the Braves.
Okay.
So then your last question is the Mile High Stadium.
The Mile High Stadium. Is it the Rockies?
It is the Rockies. He got it. Yeah. He got it in 245. Good shit. All
right. I was only drawing a blank because I thought, okay, Mile High, you know. I said Rays because, I don't know, maybe it was a Mile High.
You almost like said it a couple times and I was like, damn, like I'm actually shocked he doesn't like it. I figured that would be like an easy one for you.
And then I thought it was the Brewers this whole time, so that's why I said let's go to the next question, because then it eliminated the Brewers. Because I thought the way
I knew the
home run slide was coming up for the Brewers. So all right, cool. That was a cool little game. I like that.
It's a little different.
But the next game that we're gonna play, and this is I just want to put Wolfie in a torture chamber with this because I know it's gonna be hilarious. So we're gonna defend terrible takes. So how this works is that Wolfie has topics for me. And I have topics for him. So I'm going to give him a terrible take that he has to defend. And he's going to give me terrible takes that I have to defend. And you have to do your best. Got to give it your best effort. Do you want to defend the takes first, or do you want me?
I'll give you just to see how you react to them, and then I'll try to go off of that. Okay. So.
All right. Shit.
All right. So terrible take number one. The pitchers should hit again. Defend that.
Okay, yeah, man. I think pitchers should absolutely hit again, man. It brings strategy back into the game. It forces these managers who are obviously so good at decision-making, you know, all of them, to, you know, decide whether their pitchers should keep pitching or they should make that at-bat. I don't think there's as much injury risk as everyone is saying. I think it's just an anomaly. You know, I love seeing pitchers go up there and look terrible at the bat. I think it adds a comedy approach to the game that is definitely missed. I miss being able to see pitchers, you know, hit.
Okay. players should give back money based on performance.
Yeah, man. I think, listen, if you put your signature on the dotted line and you sit there and you fail your city like the coward jackass you are, I think you should have to give that money back, man. Listen, there's people out there that are working so hard at their 9-to-5s. You know, there's bus drivers, there's bricklayers, there's glizzy stand workers. There's so many people out there that, you know, that need that money back, and you guys are taking that money from them. So I definitely think that money should go back into the cities to improve schools, because I mean, come on, a lot of these kids these days are stupid.
Okay. And then, let's see. You should force starting pitchers to pitch 6 innings minimum every game.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you look around the league. I think the big reason for Tommy John and all of these injuries is because these pitchers aren't being forced to pitch too much. I think these pitchers need to understand what, you know, the old pitchers went through, pitching 150, 200 pitches per game. I think if pitchers can go out there and throw 150 pitches, 200 pitches per game, they'll truly strengthen their elbows. They'll truly build up their elbows. And there's no better way than that than forcing pitchers to pitch 6 innings. It'll be better for ratings. I think it'll be just better for baseball. I mean, I don't think we should be taking them out before the 6th inning. I want you to defend that Shohei Ohtani is overrated.
Shohei Ohtani is actually overrated because he doesn't play the field. He hasn't pitched in 2 years. Stolen bases are an overrated stat now because pitchers can only throw over twice. The bases are bigger. There's a pitch clock, so pitchers are rushed. Catchers aren't that good anymore. So, all right, he hits a couple home runs here and there, and I'm supposed to believe this guy's worth $700 million and he's the best player in the league. Judge is making half of that and producing twice as much. So he's been overrated since he came into the league.
Oh my god, you actually did really fucking good with that. All right. The Mets should rebrand and move cities.
All right, let's be honest. As much as we try, you know, it's New York Yankees, it's a Yankee city. So let's just corner the market now. Let's get down to like the Carolinas area or Nashville. Heck, let's beat the A's out to Vegas. Let's buy the strip. Steve Cohen's got as much money as we can. Let's just make a giant, beautiful ballpark, rebrand, retool, put that curse behind us, put all that, you know, we haven't won since 86 and the 69 and the 62 team. We'll leave that all in the past. Just completely rebrand. We have the money and the team and the owner to do it.
And the Juan Soto.
And the Juan Soto.
The Pirates. You're doing
then,
so good.
And then we can actually put a roof on our stadium.
You're doing so good with this. The Pirates are a well-functioning organization.
So it's crazy that everybody shits on the Pirates, because what's one thing the Pirates actually have that the rest of the teams in their division don't? A winning past. You know, everybody's like, oh, the Pirates. What have the Brewers ever won? Nothing. The Cubs took 100 years to win the World Series. We didn't even acknowledge the Cardinals' existence this year. Cincinnati, a 500 team. Dude, I actually think the Pirates have one of the best pitching staffs in that division when healthy. I mean, their team is so loved. They have such great owners. Why do you think Andrew McCutchen left the Yankees to go back to Pittsburgh? You're telling me that's just a coincidence? No, no. I mean, they have the best pitcher in the league. Dude, I mean, they get so much. Everybody even says their stadium's one of the best ever, and yet everybody thinks they have such a bad organization. They're clearly doing something right in Pittsburgh.
That's the segment.
That was actually fun. I liked that one. That was good.
Oh my god, you actually cooked with that. All right. So what I want you to do next is I want you to define what different means to you, and then give your top today, like your top five MLB players today that are just different in order.
I just realized I fucked up. I did not do current.
All right, so I will let you. I'll let you make a list while I do mine.
All right.
So yes, define.
What I actually had a couple guys that I thought of that were current, but yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Define what different means to you, and give your top five MLB players that are just different in order. So listen, I might swerve, bend that corner. Whoa, no, I'm just playing. But listen, being different means that they're savage to me, that they're one of the best, that they're natural, that they're nasty, that they're unconscious, that they're savage, that we really haven't seen the likes of them before, that they're really, you know, above. You know what I'm getting at. You know what I'm getting at. And listen, I'll say this. Aaron Judge is not different. Aaron Judge is not on my list because he cannot perform in the postseason. So I'm sorry. Aaron Judge does not make the cut. And there might be some guys on here that haven't even touched the postseason, but that's okay. Number one is Shohei Ohtani. Listen, he does it with the pitching. He does it with the bat. Even when, you know, he had Tommy John and all that shit, he put together one of the best hitting seasons of all time last year with that 50-50 season. Shohei Ohtani is truly different. He's our GOAT. He's what we get to watch every day, and I'm so proud of it. Number two is Paul Skeens. Listen, even with all the struggles on the Pirates, he is absolutely amazing. I think his last three starts combined have been, you know, some of the best pitching that we've seen out of any pitcher this year so far. I know his record is negative, but you can completely ignore that. He is pitching to a 2.15 ERA and a 0.92 whip. Imagine when this guy actually gets on a good team. It's absolutely disgusting what he does. Now, number three, I got Mookie Betts. The reason why I got Mookie Betts. Is not only is he a good leader, but he is also a difference maker. He has been good his whole career. I think he had a lot of expectation when he came up in Boston, and he lived up to that. He won a ring with the Boston Red Sox. And not only that, he was able to play outfield his whole career, and now all of a sudden he is a shortstop, a position that he did not play, I believe, since he got drafted into the major leagues. So I got Mookie Betts at number three just for all of that. Number four, I got Fernando Tatis Jr. Listen, man, steroids apart, I think that dude is a natural talent. His talent alone makes the Padres a top team. I mean, you're basically seeing it. It's really hard to see why they are actually a top team, but you can look at his performance and see why. I mean, this dude, he every other week he's pulling a shoulder or a hamstring or something like that, but he'll still give you a home run the very next day and make you forget all of that shit. He's a five-tool player. He's amazing. And number five, this might shock a lot of people, but it won't shock anybody that know that I'm a Washington Nationals fan. I got James motherfucking Wood at number five. I think he has definitely emerged this season. I think him and Shohei Ohtani are like one of the only two people to have like a certain amount of home runs and RBIs and stolen bases and all this other shit at one time. I have other graphics that I can, you know, I'll just put up on the screen while when I'm editing this. James Wood is young. He's doing it. He's very gifted. And he's not even doing it with the metrics. Like, the metrics will tell you that maybe he's getting lucky. He is not. He hits to all sides of the field. He doesn't even pull on the ball, and he has 15 home runs so far. So I think James Wood is someone you guys have to watch out for. James Wood is here to make this league his bitch, and those are my top five different players this year. You're up, Wolfie. What is different to you, and who is your top five?
All right, so to me, different is standout, consistency, and hard work. Right off the bat, just to double up, I mean, Tarik Skubal stands out to me. He is one of the best pitchers in the league,
okay,
of all of baseball in his league. Absolutely great. I don't even know much more to be said. We've already talked about it in this episode. Number two, old man Freddie Freeman. Report in the beginning of the year, he might not even play more than two-thirds of the week of baseball. He's got, you know, problems with his legs. His back isn't great. And this dude's got an OPS over 1,000 right now, still. He's actually one of the best players in all of baseball, not just the National League. Does it every year, Mr. Consistent. He is absolutely built different each and every way.
Everything that he like went through last year with his son and his ankle and everything, and to put together the World Series he did, was insane.
Oh, absolutely crazy. Yeah. Number three is my boy, the boxer, the guy that ended Tim Anderson's career, J-Ram. The dude is Cleveland, took a discount to stay there, and every single year you can always rely on J-Ram. J-Ram is the guy that everybody wishes they had on their team. He's a fan favorite, love him. Number four is actually going to be Kyle Schwarbaum's. I remember when he came in and starting to lead off for Philly, everybody was laughing. They're like, dude, leadoff hitter. Nationals, I think, tried it a couple times, but it's like, really? You're going to have this dude lead off? Yeah, because you know why? He's going to hit 40 home runs every goddamn year. Just no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Who would have thought when it comes to Baez, Rizzo, Bryant, that Schwarber would be the one still kicking ass all these years later? And that brings me to number five. You know who's built different? The dude's almost 40 years old, and he touched 105 this year. That is Aroldis Chapman. Aroldis Chapman is built different. Out there with a 2 ERA for Boston. I understand they're in third place, but this dude is still killing it. Old man, he's going to get traded at the deadline if Boston's out of it, and he is going to be in the playoffs one way or another.
All right. That was a fucking great segment. All right, so we're almost out of here. So listen, you know, with no research, as a casual, this is basically just for you, Wolfie. Who's your top five NBA players of all time? All
right, so number five is...
Ooh, starting off at number five.
Yeah, I'll start off at number five. Let me just make sure I have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so number five is going to be Yao Ming. I don't know why, I kind of actually forgot about him, but I was trying to think of, like, it's weird. A lot of my favorite players played in the last 5 years, but Yao Ming's definitely up there. Number four is KG. I like Kevin Garnett. I don't know why, because I'm a Knicks fan, so you wouldn't think I would like Kevin Garnett, but I like Kevin Garnett. And then my top three are going to probably be Knicks. I didn't like the way he played. You know what's weird? No, it's not Michael Jordan. You know why? Because I just like, because he was always against the Knicks Bulls. And I like MJ a lot, but I feel like he's just like, everybody likes MJ. So it's like not, it's almost like everybody likes Babe Ruth. It's just not popular to like him anymore. So I don't even like, he's not in my top five.
I think he's gonna die.
He's like a unanimous. So it's like, I can't even like mention
But you
him.
Think he's gonna die out with time?
Yeah, probably in the next, I would say real soon, to be honest. Once like some of these guys start to retire, then probably over the next 15 years, people are going to start to move on. Number three, and it's weird because I have a love-hate relationship with this guy because I hated the way he played for the most of his career as a Knick. But then at the same time, like, there was nothing else really going on. So I do like Carmelo Anthony. Like, I got to give props to him. But then blown away, number two, you might be shocked to hear this, is actually Jeremy Lin. I'm not going to lie.
These are your best players of all time.
These are my favorite best players of all time. Like, off the top, Jeremy Lin, 2 weeks, I don't give a shit. It was the best 2 weeks of basketball of my entire life. So he's number one. And then number one for me is going to be Jalen Brunson.
Okay. All right.
So, I don't know. What's weird is that, no lie, like, thinking about this, like, if you would have told me this maybe 10 years ago, I probably would say LeBron, but there's a lot of guys that, like, throughout the years, I'm like, eh, I don't really care for those guys anymore. I could never really like Steph Curry because he's just always against my teams. So, like, I don't know. I just always gravitated towards the Knicks and the East Coast guys. Hey. And yeah, man.
Hey, that's absolutely fair. So listen, I'm going to give a quick shout out to, before we move on to our final topic, I'm going to give a final shout out to the Oklahoma City Thunder who have moved on to the NBA Finals. I think we have a scary team right now in front of us. I know, you know, I'm going to sit here and try to convince you on a different episode or even this episode that the Knicks have a chance against them and, you know, the Pacers or whatever. But I think when it comes to the Oklahoma City Thunder, man, you know, we're seeing the modern day version of Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen with SGA and Jalen Williams. Everything that this franchise touches turns to gold. You know, SGA has an MVP now, and they got so much in that trade when they got rid of Paul George. Jalen Williams being one of them. Jalen Williams, who just was an all-star, all-defense player, is the perfect Robin to the MVP, which is why I call him, you know, the Scottie Pippen. You know, this team, they're ahead of schedule. They make the finals this year. They have Nikola Topic coming up. They have all the draft picks. They have all the assets. So they're going to be able to get whatever players that they want moving forward. I mean, they traded Josh Giddey, the diddler, the kid diddler. They traded Josh Giddey, who was supposed to be one of their cornerstones, for bald-ass Alex Caruso, and it worked flawlessly. I have nothing really else to say, man. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they're in the finals, and they look dominant. They just got to not screw it up here, and they better just not run into the Knicks.
Good point.
Yeah, but the last topic here is that Aaron Rodgers is different in the wrong way. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be our first inductee into the what should we even call it?
I don't know, just
the built completely different Hall of Fame. what's your takes on Aaron Rodgers? I mean, he was just a Jet.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird with Aaron Rodgers because, like, is he done? Is he not done? Was he going to go here? Was he going to go there? I personally thought, like, he was kind of bullshitting us the whole time with the Jets. Like, did he really believe he was going to take the Jets to the promised land? I know he has a big head, but, like, unless he really is that delusional, which I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know, like, how to, like, look at his career now, because is it like he didn't end it great with Green Bay? Obviously the Jets was a disaster. If he continues, it's probably not going to be well. So like, I feel like he was one of those guys that I would have put on a pedestal a decade ago. And now it's like, I almost don't even want to even like deal with him in the league anymore, especially if he's just going to be an old man now. Like, it's like, let's end that fucking chapter already.
I mean, he was just on Joe Rogan talking about conspiracies and government and all this stuff. Every offseason he gets loaded up on shrooms and like has these darkness retreats, and I don't know what happened, man, but you know, he only won one Super Bowl, was very overrated in my eyes throughout a lot of his career. A lot of people, you know, pinpointed his comebacks and how bad of a dude he was, but a lot of those comebacks were against bad teams. You know, he had some really good teams towards the end of that, you know, Packers run, maybe not the, you know, the very last team that he had, but towards the end of that run, he had some good teams, just didn't perform. I don't know, man. I don't think I can consider him a top five quarterback, of all time at this point. But man, I think he's a perfect representative of built completely different.
I like that. Good point. I'm completely agree. I mean, his legacy is getting tarnished more and more, especially if because the thing about him is I don't see him, even if he does play well, like, is he really going to take a team to the Super Bowl?
No. Yeah.
Even I barely see him scratching the playoffs, so.
Yeah, I mean, and the Jets gave him a team that he could at least do something with, and what he did was run with the American flag and tear his Achilles. But do you have any final takes, anything that you want to say before we get out of here?
June's a couple days away. This is usually the part where the Mets spit and sputter, summer. So let's just see if they can actually finally turn it around for once.
Yeah, man, I hope the Nationals finally sell their team. I hope they fire the coaching staff. I hope Josh Bell... No, I was going to say gets hit by a bus, but I think that's too extreme. Either which way, that's the episode. Let's get out of here. Make sure you guys like and subscribe. Leave some feedback. Get on the journey with us. You know, come be different with us. We hope you guys like that episode. It was a little different than what we normally do. So make sure you guys buckle up and enjoy the ride. We are covering the rest of the NBA playoffs. The NFL is now officially around the corner now that the draft is done, free agency is done. We're getting into some OTAs and stuff like that. We're going to have some video games around the corner. We're going to have a lot of good stuff here. So, you know, tune in, and we will not be letting you down. Thank you guys so much. Have a good day, night. Hit the music. We are out of here. Peace.
What's your favorite take?
I'm going through my nose phase. What's your take on it?
What do you think about Juan Soto?
Yeah, what do you think about Juan Soto? What do you think?
I completely agree. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Is it laughable?
I agree. He's overpaid.
Yeah. What else do you have to say to the viewers? Oh, you're waving? You got to wave higher.
He's always, it's so funny.
Saying bye to the viewers. So yeah, bye-bye.